Good afternoon, everyone. We are so glad and excited that you are here with us today at the ICSC conference. Is everybody having a fantastic time?
Yeah.
Learning lots? My name is Wendy Collins. I am currently with ICSC about a month, but I've been in parish and diocesan stewardship for over 15 years, and I'm excited to introduce Sharon Ehrenkranz. She is your session speaker for Noticed, Named, and Known. Sharon has been the director of parish life and at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Sugar Land, Texas. We are fellow Texans. And her parish was the winner of the 2019 Archbishop Thomas J. Murphy Award. Sharon's spiritual home at St. Lawrence. She has been there for 16 years, but you've been in Sugar Land with your husband, Doug, and three children for about 29 years. Ah, they've been on staff for 16 years. And I'd also like to welcome Glenn and Stephanie Guidry. They are going to be part of Sharon's presentation. And if you would please join me in the conference prayer, which is on page 3. You guys should have it memorized by now, so we can give glory to the God, the reason we're here. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious God,
we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's light and ministry, and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from
I am happy to introduce Sharon.
Thanks, Wendy. Y'all, there's plenty of seats up here in the front. If anybody has an empty seat next to them, if you could just raise your hand and we can have everybody see. We got a bunch of people standing in the back. Thank you. Come on up, everybody. So as Wendy said, I am Sharon Ehrenkranz, and I'm the director of parish life at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Sugar Land, and it is a distinct pleasure of mine to be asked to present again here at ICSC. I can only tell you that, especially you newcomers, that my life personally has been changed by being a part of ICSC and attending these conferences, but it's also impacted the life of our parish, and substantially. We come back from these all excited, all on fire, all ready to bring back new ideas. So I hope that you go back to your parishes and your dioceses with some great new ideas, even if it's just one nugget. And my prayer is that something that you will get today in this session will be of help to you. So I wanted to start. Oops. Why is this not going? Please go. Please go. It worked earlier. Maybe. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start talking about my pastor, Father Drew Wood. Father Drew, I wouldn't be here presenting right now today if it wasn't for my pastor, Father Drew Wood. And Father Drew did die last Thursday, and our entire parish is in mourning. What I'm sharing with you in this session today is inspired by Scripture, but in many ways it's also inspired by this man right here. Father Drew is intellectually brilliant, but he was also kind and vulnerable, and he met people where they are. He knew the smell of his sheep, and he loved us, and we knew his voice, and we loved him very much, and he will be greatly missed. So after Father Drew and I were introduced by a mutual friend when he first got to St. Lawrence, 26 years ago, he was our parochial vicar at the time, he got to know me and I got to know him. He invited me to be on his pastoral council and then eventually on his staff. And it's been the privilege of my life to be able to work with him. Whoops, I'm sorry. This is... My clicker wasn't working. It's been the privilege of my life to be able to work so closely with this man who inspired us at St. Lawrence and taught us in so many ways, even in the little things, in my daily life. The things he's taught me are things like pray in the morning, early in the morning, remember people's names, answer all the phone calls immediately. And just because it's complicated and difficult doesn't make it good. In fact, it doesn't make it good. You guys, everything is so weird. This is off. I'm missing a... So onto the topic of welcoming new parishioners. New parishioners are something that it's kind of elusive. If you're anything like St. Lawrence, you talk about this over and over and over again. And it just goes something like this. We need to do a better job of welcoming our new parishioners. How do I identify our new parishioners? What are we doing right now? Oh, I didn't know we did that. I don't remember getting a welcoming call when I joined. Do people answer their phones anymore? What if we ask people to turn to their neighbor in the pews and say hi before every Mass? Maybe we should divide up the neighborhood teams and bring a welcome basket. Have you ever done welcome receptions before? Yes, and we stopped. No one came. Wait, what about helping the people who have been here for years? Make them feel welcome. Wait, what about our non-Catholic neighbors? How do we reach out to them? How do we welcome them? So we go through this over and over again, right? We talk about all these things, and it just seems overwhelming. And by this time, it gets to be such a big thing that, okay, well, let's table it till next month's meeting, and we'll bring it up again. Okay. So just so you know, St. Lawrence is a big suburban parish. We've got 7,400 families in the most ethnically diverse county in the United States. People literally come from all over the world to live in Sugar Land, whether they're in the oil and gas business or our great medical area of Houston. But on any average month, we have about 20 new families, new households registering, and less than 5 that leave in that time. So who are these people, and how do we reach them, and how do we connect with them? It's not for lack of trying. We really do want to do this, and we do know this is important. All we have to do is pick up any secular media, any church media. In any of your sessions, you probably have heard the same things. I mean, it's rough now. We hear that people are more anxious, frustrated, and lonely than ever before, and at the same time, less likely than previous generations to belong to any kind of a faith community. In a 2023 report titled Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, revealed that 1 in 3 adults feels lonely once a week. Further, 10 feels lonely every day. He went on to reference the important role of religion in fostering social connection. Quote, religious or faith-based groups can be a source for regular social contact, serve as a community of support, provide meaning and purpose, create a sense of belonging around shared values and beliefs, and are associated with a reduced risk taking behaviors. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. I mean, that's true, and we're hearing that from the U.S. Surgeon General. At the same time, today, in 2020, it was the first year in 2020 that less than half the people in the United States say that they attend a church, a mosque, or a synagogue. And that's down from 70% in 1999. The Surgeon General concluded the report with a call to action. He said the keys to human connection are simple, but extraordinarily powerful. Loneliness and isolation represent profound threats to our health and well-being, but we have the power to respond. Did anybody hear Father Mike Schmidt's homily from last week? Did you listen to his podcast? He gave a great homily, and he referenced loneliness and even this study. And in it, he talked about Saint Bernadette. And Saint Bernadette, who was born into abject poverty and was a child who was not even noticed at all. And people looked past her. She was nothing. She was nobody. And yet she had a relationship. She had a vision with of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And someone once asked her, what was it like to see Mary? And she said she was a beautiful lady. But then she went on to say, she looked at me as if I were a person. And when I heard Father Mike say that on his podcast, I just started crying. I was thinking, this poor baby. And but there's many people that feel just that way. He also referenced St. Teresa of Calcutta, who recognized Jesus, as we know, in every person she encountered. In the poor, she discovered Jesus in his most distressing disguise. And she valued the poor not because they could do anything for her, but because they radiated the image of God. So there's a lot of scripture also that, in a lot of the gospels that also point to the importance of being noticed, the importance of being recognized, called by name, and then known by God, and how their lives were transformed. I'm going to just focus on one, and that is, Zacchaeus in Luke 19. And if I may, I'll go ahead and read it to you. He came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, he has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. There's so much happening in this gospel story, but there's one sentence in particular that I want to bring to your attention to. And in this one sentence, we discover the power of being noticed, named, and known. And that's this one. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up. Jesus looked up into the tree. I mean, he's got people pressing on all sides, but he looks up and he sees this wealthy man in this very, you know, undignified position of climbing a tree just so he could see. So let's, like, little side note, Zacchaeus did take the first step. Zacchaeus did register in the parish. He did. Okay, just a little side note. And so Zacchaeus is there up in the tree, but then Jesus sees him, notices him, stops and looks up. I mean, to have the the Son of God looking at you, locking eyes when there's people all around. I mean, how powerful that had to be. But it's not just there. In the sentence goes on, he said to him, Zacchaeus. I mean, I told you about one of Father Drew's strengths was being good with names. I cannot tell you, with the number of parishioners we have at St. Lawrence, how many people think they have a special relationship with Father Drew Wood because he knows them by name. And I know it's not a strength that everybody's got, but it's something we can all work on. We can really make an effort. And clergy, pastors, deacons, for you to stop and notice and see your people and know them by name, it's just such a gift to them. They feel this wonderful connection. And then it goes on. Come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. So now he's noticed him. He's called him by name, but now he's really going to get to know him. I mean, how well do you get to know someone best? It's over a meal, and it's best at their home. You get to see all the, you know, pictures on the walls and what the kids do, and, you know, you get to see them in action at their house. I mean, he was getting to know him and know him well. So in that one sentence is the arc of the simplicity of what I'd like to inspire you with today, that it's really not a grossly complicated thing to welcome new parishioners. If you could just remember this one sentence in this one gospel, to notice, name, and know them, you'll be off to a very good start, because it's not just for their benefit, not just for their feeling good about themselves that day. It impacts their family and their children's children, and maybe for a whole generation, because as Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because of that encounter of noticing, naming, and knowing him. So whether you're recent or in the past, we've all had a time when each of us has had a time that we felt invisible or unnoticed. It might be here at this conference. It might be in your own parish. It might be at work. It could have been in middle school. But enough about me. But really, you know, it's if you stop and think about it, it's a wound. And just sit with that and think about it. How would things have been different if someone, anyone, had taken an interest in you at that moment and stopped, called you by name, got to know you a little bit? Now is the interactive part of the talk. I'd like you to look around and notice somebody near you who you don't know. You guys don't get to talk to each other. No. Y'all know each other. So I want you to find somebody you know and share. You don't know. Yeah. Somebody you don't know. Are y'all ready to come back? So it feels like there might be some woundedness out here. Are y'all ready to come back? Is there anyone who would like to share a little bit of what they learned from their neighbor, their new friend? Any insight? Yeah. I'm coming to you.
So thank you. I learned that it's very real because they are parishioners at the same parish. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that validates all that she's, you know, you've shared to this point, and especially with Father, you know, calling him just a few months ago to learn this about them. So it's very real, very real. I wanted to.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes, Father.
So I just met Linda standing next to me, and never have met her before, never laid eyes on her, and we're in the same diocese. And I told her what parish. I'm the pastor of Christ the Redeemer in Houston, Cypress, Texas. She said, my brother has been away from the church and just came back to your parish. And I had made an announcement at our parish because Father Drew Wood was a dear friend of mine as well. So I asked my parish last week when he was actively dying, I said, let's hold Father Drew Wood in prayer as he goes in his final journey to the Lord. And she said her brother heard that and called her to say, you won't believe what the pastor at this parish just talked about your pastor at St. Lawrence. So there you go. So we just took a selfie and sent it to her brother.
That's great. Anyone else? Well, yeah, there's somebody else, yes? Get my steps in.
I just met Father John, and ironically, he is very good friends with Bishop Dolan, who is now the new bishop of the Diocese of Phoenix. So talk about a small world, because, and then today I met one of the parishioners from Good Shepherd in San Diego because her priest became a bishop who replaced Bishop Dolan in San Diego.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what I'm getting is you guys are all making some great connections while you're here. So maybe you haven't felt too terribly invisible, but, and that's a great thing. I mean, and that's beautiful. So my challenge to you is, remember this person who you spoke with and remember their name and look for them as you're going through this conference because you've made a new friend in the Lord and that's really what it's all about. The fact is that it's pretty easy to be invisible. And it's easy to be invisible. Oops. Come on. It's easy to be invisible, even in our churches. This is a picture at St. Lawrence at a Mass. And it's easy to get lost. And it's just as easy to be invisible or lost in a smaller church, too. But when someone makes that first step in a church, or let's face it, in a new job or on a team or in a new neighborhood, the questions, the most basic questions are, what do I get? What do I give? Do I belong? And how can we grow? Some of you may be familiar with Gallup's member engagement survey, the ME25. It's 25 questions that really get to the heart of how noticed, named, and known someone feels in your parish. We did this in the fall of 2015, and over 3,800 adults participated in the survey. And then we invited a really great expert to come and unpack it with us. Lisa Anslinger came to our parish and helped first our clergy and our pastoral councils and staff unpack it, and then we brought it to the ministry leadership, and then we brought it to the whole parish. But these surveys were a great way for us to get to the heart of how people felt about some of these very, very basic questions that get to the heart of how connected they feel. And it was a good starting point for us to really understand how parishioners felt. But we wanted to take it further. We wanted to hear from them. And Lisa was the one who inspired us to take it to the parishioners now and talk with them. Because now we got a great survey. Excellent. Now let's talk. And so we did something we called church chats. And I talked about this at ICSE last year. And Michelle, I don't know if you're in here, but Michelle ended bringing up this to her parish in Austin because she thought the idea was so great. It's so simple, y'all. Church chats, we called it church chats instead of a town hall meeting or something boring like that because, let's face it, nobody ever goes to those things. But if you call it a church chat and you have it conveniently after a bunch of masses for a couple of months and then you also open it up to ministries and say, would you like us to come to your ministry? We can get to really hear directly from the people. It was great. There was a lot of sharing that was going on. I could tell you all sorts of stories related to that. But whether it was a few people or a few dozen people coming to these, it was really, really informative to us. We were able to get input from across the parish, find out what was important to our parish and defined the culture of our parish. The questions we asked were, what brought you to St. Lawrence? What keeps you at St. Lawrence? And what, if anything, is missing? And what we found out was this, that the people at St. Lawrence thought that we had life-giving liturgies, beautiful music. They love the fact that we have so many cultures at our parish. They love that we had friendly, approachable clergy, a vibrant, generous parish with a large social concerns department, and lots of ways to serve. Those were all the things they loved about this place, what attracted them and kept them there. And then when we asked what we could do better, we had a really long list of things that people told us, which is great. Great. Thanks for your input. But at the top of the list was better welcoming for visitors and new parishioners, greater participation in leadership from men, and more young adults active and leading. So we're on our way, right? We've got input, we had direction, we had purpose, we had language. So what did we focus on first? Not welcoming new parishioners. I'm really sorry. Sorry, I told you I was going to be honest with you, and that's the truth. I mean, we're continuing to do what we always did. We still mailed out a welcome packet with a really friendly letter from Father Drew welcoming to the parish. They got a flock note message from me welcoming them, telling them they're going to get this every week and find ways to engage in parish life, and then a welcoming phone call. That's it. That's what we did. And we had all sorts of ideas, and we kept talking about it. And while we kept talking about it at our monthly meetings at Discipleship Council, making it more complicated than it needed to be, Father asked us to take notice of the groups that came up the most in the church chats, the men, the families, and the young people. So we did. We went to work on that. And these were really pretty great, because what we learned is that unless someone feels safe in a parish, they're not going to stick around. Unless it feels like it's a place that they can be noticed, named, and known, they're not going to stick around. And so men were, you know, we thought, okay, how hard can this be? We've all heard the stuff about how important it is that men are the spiritual leaders of their families. What can we do at St. Lawrence to build on what we already had? So we brought back That Man Is You. I don't know if any of you have that with from Paradisus Day. It's a great program. Our guys meet at 5:30 in the morning every Wednesday. They're on their way by 7. Breakfast, and it's a blast, and we've got over 100 men that do this every Wednesday morning. We introduced the Acts retreats, the Curcio retreats, for men and for women. At first, the women's retreats were filling up super fast, you know, they were all on board. But the men, it was like, come on guys, let's do this. And, we got one right here, can attest that, it really is something. And this past weekend, we had lay witness talks for the Acts Men's Retreat at all 6 masses. And you guys, we've been super intentional about getting people up there. Well, lay witness talks are a whole nother talk, and how to do that well. But our talks are short. They're 3 minutes at the end of Mass. They are not another homily. They're not an announcement. They are not a sales pitch. It is rather them sharing deeply from their own experience and how it's transformed them, how it's transformed their family. And so we're very intentional about the guys we invited to get up to speak this past weekend, and their stories were just beautiful. I know that because we do run-throughs beforehand. That's another part of lay witness talks. But to get men up there being vulnerable and sharing their stories was key. Bros and Brisket, that's a really fun thing. That's an easy thing you could do at your parish. Just invite a great speaker, get the Knights of Columbus to do brisket, and invite the guys. We have, you know, it's open to men 16 and up. And so you got a lot of dads and sons coming together. It's great. This focus on men being the spiritual leaders of the family naturally led to families. And this all started with a statement on the family by Father Drew. And all this is on our website, and I'll give you a QR code in the next slide. But what Father Drew said in this statement on the family was beautiful and simple, just like he always kept it. He said that being intentional about prayer, discernment, and dialogue about the kind of family we will be is essential. And to make kind of a moat around your house. And everything we do for the sake of the family is for the glory of God, linking it back to our salvation. And so that letter inspired the pastoral council to write 10 tenets, basic, simple stuff, 10 tenets on how to be intentional as a family. And we created a booklet and then a communication strategy around that and then introduced it at all masses and everything. You guys, this just took off. This became part of our parish culture. It's wonderful. I mean, in no time, the Hispanic ministry, one of the members of the Hispanic ministry over her Christmas vacation, she's a teacher, she translated the book and humbly brought it to me and said, Sharon, would it be okay if we published this in Spanish? And I was like, thank you. That's a gift. You know, and then the Vietnamese ministry came, you know, and the Vietnamese sisters, the Dominican sisters were like, we've just translated it into Vietnamese. Can we publish this? And then, of course, the Filipino community was like, well, can we put it in Tagalog, please? And so now to this day, you know, today we have it in four languages. And we weren't managing it by this time. The inspiration came from Father Drew. He shared it with council, shared it with staff, and then it took on a life of its own after it was shared with the parish. It's all on our website. Take it as your own. Copy it. Make it your own parishes. Take what you like from it and move it around. It's not copyrighted. It's wonderful, and it has transformed the life of our parish. And everybody knows it's a parish of families, which will take me really quickly. How am I doing on time? We wanted to focus on young families. Okay, so now pandemic is over. People are coming back. They're a little tentative. They've had mass at home with, you know, with our videos and stuff. And now all of a sudden there's families coming in and little kids and noise and there's a scream in the middle of mass, you know, and people are freaking out. And, you know, it was more than one person either calling to complain or taking a sacristan aside and saying, really, can't the children just be brought out or something? And it was like, wait, this is not who we are. And so Father Drew said, well, the place where we have to get this message across is in mass, because that's where the problem's happening, is that people are not welcoming. He said, I don't want to be the one to tell them what to do, because that's going to seem like I'm scolding. We don't want announcements from a young family standing up there at the ambo and saying, this is how you make me feel, because that's going to be shaming. And so we thought, well, wait, we got really good at this video thing during pandemic. What if we just do a little video showing what it's like from the family's perspective, you know? And so this is also on our website too, and I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but I'll just give you a feel for this. This was shown at all masses, and was a huge hit. So you get a feel for that. That was, it was a huge success. In fact, one of the things Father Drew asked is, can we run that again in mass? And I don't know. I have to think about all these things that Father Drew asked of me now. But, it's not a solid no anymore. But, what about welcoming new parishioners? I mean, we were doing a good job with all these groups and everything. Meanwhile, Discipleship Council keeps thinking about it and talking about it and coming up with these convoluted, complicated things, you know, dividing it up by neighborhoods and da, da, da. And then enter Glenn and Steph Guidry. They asked, Sharon, can we just come to a Discipleship Council meeting and share with you an idea for having a welcome reception? Yeah, okay, let's hear what you did at your previous parish. You know, because we've done this. We've done it to death, and no one came. But They were excited. They're really nice. And so I thought, okay, let's let them come to Discipleship Council and sell it to us. Come on, bring it, because we certainly didn't have the answer. And so I'd like to invite Glenn and Steph up to share what they presented and what we rolled out a year ago, which has been enormously successful at St. Lawrence. And I got to warn you guys, it is as simple gets, and it's beautiful in helping people feel noticed, named, and known.
So my name is Stephanie Guidry, and we came from another parish before attending St. Lawrence. And when we got to St. Lawrence about 9 years ago, we decided that we would join the music group at St. Lawrence, which is a huge music group of about 30 people or so, and you have a party and they bring their spouses. So now you know 60 people in a brand new parish. But prior to that, we were at a smaller parish, and we moved to Texas without any family there, and we were raising our family. And the church family became our adopted family. And that's what we wish for this welcoming session, and it was kind of inspired out of that. We've met some great friends that we still have dinner with every Friday night, and it's just been very inspiring. During the pandemic, St. Lawrence invited Glenn and I to go to a class. Thank goodness it was all online, so we didn't have to go anywhere. But after the class was over, I think it was about a year and a half of training, and it was all about the Holy Family and forming the Holy Family along with intentional families, and that was something really fun to study. We had to give them an idea at the end of the class as to what we wanted to do with it. And so that you can imagine, this was in 2020, and we're talking about doing a welcoming session, not knowing whether St. Lawrence had one, wanted one, could care less about it. But God had other ideas, and like Sharon said, thanks to her, we got together, we presented our idea, and it's going forward today in a most dramatic way. I'm going to turn it over to Glenn to tell you a little bit about the spiritual side.
Well, just to one of the points Steph made, being in a new city with a young family and not having any support system, I don't know about you, but as a young father, that really bothered me, that if something happened to me, what was going to happen to Steph? And it wasn't until we got involved in our church family, and had been involved probably for 6 months or a year, that I could really kind of reflect back and say, I don't have that worry anymore. We have enough of a family here. We have so many brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ that we've met, that she's going to be okay if something happened to me. So that's just a tag on there. But so when we went to Sharon, I'd been kind of thinking through the whole process, and nothing speaks better than the Word of God. Nothing speaks better. I could give you a speech. I could do anything I want. But we had three scriptures, and I'll read you the first one, just because it kind of hit home for us. And you know it. It's Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne, on His throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me." A stranger, and you welcomed Me. So when people stepped into the parish, we wanted to notice them. Like Sharon said, we have an influx, 20 to 30 people coming to us, families, every month. And even when we started, we did get the packet and the letter. But I said, this is a huge parish. Is there nothing else? And so we felt empty then. And so those scriptures, that and a scripture from John about being chosen, Jesus called by name. And so we wanted people in the parish to know them by name and for them to know us by name. And then the last scripture that we used was one from 1 Peter, where he talks about the gifts that we have. And so that ends up at the end of our session, where we ask them to think about what they've been given by God, right? What do they bring to the parish? And we never mention money. It's never about that. I've heard it several times. It's about getting their hearts engaged in the parish, and everything else will take care of itself. But we encourage them, just like it happened with us, to get involved, and it's through that involvement you'll begin to gather your church family around you and meet more people and secure in the church.
And so how did we do it? We do it quarterly. It's an hour long. It's right after one of our masses, so we try to prepare them to go to a mass and then come to the session. We call it a reception because who doesn't want to be invited to a party? And so we get them to come. They RSVP to us, and it's so much fun to talk to them. Or, can't make it this time, but I'll come next time. And it's just been a joy to talk to people on the phone. But we noticed, and I know y'all have too, when people join the parish and they register, there's usually a reason. They need a sacrament. They want to meet people. They're looking to get back into the church. I can't tell you how many times in these sessions somebody knew Father Drew, either went to school with him or dated him. We at the reception, we have all of the as many parish leaders that want to come. We don't parade a bunch of ministry leaders to them, but we want them to meet the priest. This last session, we had all three of our parish priests there. Two of our parish priests there. Father Drew was sick, but we get a chance to tell them the lay of the land, if you will, the buildings that we have, the facilities and where to go. They have an opportunity to talk to someone at their table about what they came for. What do you need? How do you get your questions answered in a parish, whether it's big or small, and how do we do that? So we offer them food or drinks, and we give them all of that information that they want in a very simple, simple format.
So simple, even a caveman could do it. As Steph mentioned, they have probably four opportunities to engage with us questioning. So certainly they get their invitation, and we ask them if they have any questions. But they come to the session, and they're sitting there at a table again. And that's a safer way to engage with people. You were much more open with the person sitting next to you than if Sharon had asked you to please, you know, introduce yourself to the entire group here, right? It's just our human nature. We then make sure that they have a Q&A at the end of the session, just in case it didn't come out at the table, and they still have something that they need. But then we'll also, we're hanging around after the session, just for a few minutes. And you'd be surprised. We ask them for an hour, and they'll be there another 15 or 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because they know that we're interested in them. What do they say? They won't listen to what you say until they know that you care. And so we make sure that they know that we care, and that's why we're there. So I didn't even know that would rhyme. It's pretty good. So what we ask them to do is introduce themselves. Okay. That's pretty intimidating. If I just came out, handed you a microphone, and just asked you to introduce yourself. But what we do is we give them a piece of poster board.
Okay, I'll go ahead. Yeah, so picture Pino's palette. And you're having to draw a picture. And I know it sounds really, really juvenile, but they love it. And the kids get involved, and they have markers and paper on the table. And this is after all the prayers and all the reasons why we tell them why we invited them. This one was at our last session, which was just about a week ago. And this was one of the children at the table wanting to paint the picture and present it himself. But we do it this way because it helps you, if you were going to stand up with us right now and introduce yourself, to remember what you wanted to say in the first place, because these microphones can be pretty intimidating. So this one's just an amazing drawing. We don't usually get them like this. Some people are stick figure people, and some people, and no one's ever resisted, by the way, to say, no, I'm not going to draw anything. We'll just go. So we're very low tech and very low cost. We're not no tech though. We do continue to send emails and and notes and try to make sure that we connect them with the person and the leader that they needed to talk to, whether it's to go to the Catholic school, send the kid to school, or have them baptized.
So here we go. We've got 30 invitations that could go out a month. So we do it quarterly. And so we've got four sessions during the year. We could probably fit in a fifth sometime in the future. And that's something that we think about. It's up to the director of, you know, every once in a while. Yeah. There you go. And so what we're trying to do is we're just trying to make sure that they are noticed. We get to them hopefully soon enough after they've registered so that there's still an interest. We got really crushed by the hurricane that came through in July. We had like 17 RSVPs out of the 60 invitations that went out, which not a bad take. But I'll tell you, when we had to cancel that one because of the hurricane coming through around that time frame, we only had three of those come back to this latest session that we had in September. So you can see that it is a time sensitive thing for people as they enter into your parish. Keeping it simple, it's just we're introducing ourselves to you, you're introducing yourselves to us. They learn to know and see a few faces in the parish, which is good. I mean, people like that familiarity of, I've seen them. I may not know your name. Father Trung Son that she talked about, when he came to our parish, large parish, right? He says, when you come up to me, tell me your name when you shake my hand until I tell you your name back, right? And so that way you keep it, and we have to say the same thing to these people that we see. We see, you know, 20 or 30 people at a session, and we say, please remember to tell me your name until I can tell you back.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so you can see, was that revolutionary? No. Was it, like, to me, when I first heard about it, I thought, this is a little cringy. Like, you know, are adults really going to draw on this? But if I can figure out how to go back, you could see Smitty. There's Smitty. Smitty was, like, right there going, should I do a crest for my family? And, like, he worked in things about fishing and stuff. I mean, I marveled at how simple. It's poster paper, it's markers, it's reaching out to them, it's donuts and coffee, and it's 1 hour. Every time, this is over in 1 hour, like they said, we don't talk, Adam. Glenn reading the scripture and me giving a little, you know, history of St. Lawrence, welcome thing at the end was it. The rest of the time, they're introducing themselves to one another. People are noticing one another. They're naming. They're making the connections like you guys just made here, you know, like, oh, yeah. And then before you know it, we've got small Christian communities forming. So it's really then very, very special. Yes.
Do you invite all the other ministries of the parish?
The question is, do we invite all the other ministries of the parish? No. We used to, the way we used to do it, and then what happened was all the ministries are there and no newcomers are there. So it started off super, super simple. Literally, it was Glenn and Steph putting this guy on, and then a few of us from staff, like, five of us. And then people started finding out about it. And then we had a ministry highlight where he said, you want to be part of the welcome receptions? Come see them after Mass. And so we got some interested people then. And then at this ministry fair, so we've been doing it, we had done four. And I said, you guys, you have to be the first booth as you enter the ministry fair this year. And, you know, the welcoming ministry. And so they did. And they got people who said, I've always wanted to get involved in some way. I can welcome people. And so what you have are just people, just not ministries, just parishioners who talk about their stories about what they got involved in. And so it's inspiring to people, and it's worked. Other questions? Yes.
How many people in the parish already are there supporting that?
Yeah. So I think we've got a ministry now that, you know, if we want to call you guys an official ministry, I think, yeah, let's call it. Yeah, they've got 15 to 20 people doing it now. Yeah.
And then we have a group from the Discipleship Council as well.
Yep. Yes.
What is the assignment when you give it to them on a poster? What do you tell them?
What do we ask them to do in the assignment when we ask them to introduce themselves? So we simply ask them that tell us about their family, maybe where they're from, what hobbies they have, what interests they have, and usually try to plant a little question that says, why did you come to St. Lawrence? Why are you here? Because as we've mentioned before, people come for a reason. Sacraments, you name it. So
we heard a beautiful story. This one young woman was there with her aged father, and her mother had died. And were they Vietnamese? Yeah, beautiful family. But she said she brought him here because she knows how important his faith is to him. And he didn't speak. He had a mask on, and he was in a wheelchair. But she talked about how important it was. And it touched my heart. Lisa. Question is, do we always have the reception at the same time? So far, yes. We've had five so far. And it's always after the 11 o'clock Mass, which is our biggest, one of our largest Masses. It lasts from 12:30 to 1:30. It just seems to be a good time. Another question, yes.
So is the Discipleship Council, in addition to the Parish Council and the Finance Council?
Yes. Yes, okay. Question is Discipleship Council yet another council? Yes. So Father Drew in 2006 asked us on Pastoral Council, I wasn't on staff at that time, he said, how do we become a stewardship parish? That was 2006. And so we started talking with other parishes that had good stewardship activity and learned what stewardship meant. We read the bishop's pastoral letter on stewardship. In fact, we open every single meeting of Discipleship Council with that. But we learned what it would take, and one of the things it would take is having a stewardship committee. But Father Drew was the one who said this is important enough that he doesn't want it to be just a committee. He wants it to be a council. So Father Drew did not come to every one of the Discipleship Council meetings. He comes here and there, but and now he'll be at all of them. But he assigned one of his parochial vicars to be the pastoral liaison for Discipleship Council, and that's Father Ching Sun. And so Father Drew would go to Pastoral Council and Finance Council, and Father Ching Sun would go to the Discipleship Council meetings once a month. And we've got a bunch of subcommittees on that, and one of them is welcoming new parishioners. There's a gifts and strengths one, too. Any other questions? Yes.
Just a quick question. It's just here in the back of my mind that yours to family, which is addressed to them. But they just hear something to say, well, what about single moms? What about, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So, and that's a very good question. I ask you to go to our website and read Father Drew's statement on the family, because he addresses all kinds of families. The men thing, that happened first. That was a separate thing. It was 2015. 2018 was Father Drew's letter on the family, and it was families of all types. And so then it was the question, well, what about empty nesters and retired folk, and does this leave them out? Are they feeling? No, because they're a part of a family, too. Everybody's a part of a family, and everybody has a role in a family. And we also invited our more senior members of the parish to get involved in different things, you know, for younger families. Yes. Nope. It's a household. It's a new parishioner. Yeah? The question is, you know, tell us about yourself and what brought you to St. Lawrence. Yes. So the question was two parts: is how involved or how connected do you have to be? Do you have to be registered to come to this? The answer to that one is yes. That's how it originates. They take that first step, like Zacchaeus climbing the tree, and they register. Once they're registered, we have their information, and that's how the invitation goes out. Certainly, we wouldn't, and we also put it in the bulletin, say that there is a welcome reception coming up. If you're new to the parish, contact them and RSVP. So, yeah, everyone's most welcome to it. Second question was about the school. Do we have school families? Yes, we do. And thank you for that idea. I am going to talk to our school principal about that and see how she might encourage anybody who's not engaged in parish life or registered in the church and may want to be. I like that. Thank you very much. What else? Yes. The question was, do the invitations to this reception go out once a month? It goes out about a month prior to the reception. And Glenn will send out a couple reminders because, you know, it's our former parish administrator used to call St. Lawrence St. Procrastination. You know, it's simple. It's just so simple. Yes. The question is, when they register, do we ask them what ministries they might be interested in joining? No, we don't. We don't. At this point, we're just so dang lucky to get it digitized. I mean, we were using paper forms. I am so embarrassed to tell you until just recently, like just before pandemic. It was crazy. And so now we've got good, solid information that is going online now. Yes. Y'all, thank you so much for coming out and listening to this simple presentation. God bless you.